Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts for this weekend show. Also your host down at our website and through podcast. Just search the KE Report in your podcast player. And on YouTube, again, just search the KE Report. It's where you can listen to the full weekend show, as well as all our daily editorials and company updates. A lot of a focus being on precious metals as gold and silver continue to scream higher, and the stocks almost across the board are all doing very well. So this weekend show going to be focused on some of the technicals around precious metals, and then in the back half, some of maybe the more fundamental reasons as to what's driving these price spikes. We're kicking off the show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. It's been a while since we last had Doc on the show. And Doc, boy, oh boy, there's a lot for us to talk about, because last time we had you on was actually back in April. And prices have just taken off since that time. We've noticed some of your comments on our blog about how you think this could really keep going for the precious metals. Yeah, there could be a consolidation here or there, but you still think this is early innings. So, Doc, I want you to outline your thoughts, please.
Absolutely. You know that in the past, whenever we had hysteria over the gold market, it was negative when it topped out, and then it topped out, and we'd get taken out again. But this one, I've been consistently bullish. This is a whole different ball game we're in. And I think we're probably in the second, third inning of this thing, if that. And there are so many technical factors that you can look at to tell you that. And not necessarily on the gold chart, because, you know, it's all rarefied air up here in blue sky. And we don't know how high it potentially could run. But especially with the silver market, which I think silver right now is just beginning to break out, and we're at prices we haven't seen for decades, if not centuries.
Well, Doc, that's for sure, because we're at prices in silver that we've never been at before. So I know people like to use the inflation adjusted and say it could be up to 200, but silver above $50 is something that's never happened before in nominal terms. And we're, as we record this, in the 53s. It's been above 50 for the last week. What do you make of something like that, where it breaks out of a 45-year channel? Some people say a cup and handle pattern. What do you make of an asset like silver that finally breaks up to new highs? How do you measure it? How do you look for resistance levels?
Well, you can look at the inflation-adjusted data if you want. But what's interesting is I went back to January of 1980 when it hit a monthly high of about 49.45, and then I went back to April of 2011, and the close was about, on a monthly basis, 48.70. So we've really taken out closing highs for silver. And just the fact that silver is in a deficit, and you know, there are no really significant permitted mines coming on board anytime soon again. So we're going to be in this deficit going forward, and the demand will just increase. So those people that are talking $200 per ounce silver, they're not the crazy people anymore. That's a potential. And I'm quite sure we're going to see $100. And then it's anybody's guess after that how high it goes. But plus, the currencies are finally all being debased, and people are going back to tangibles and, the metals and everything. So we're going to be in markets that when we look back someday, we're going to just be, I think, staggered by what's going to happen in these markets.
Doc, let's look at the gold chart. And I know how you like to look at a monthly chart, a longer term chart. We've never seen on the RSI gold this overbought. The MACD is at levels, again, that we haven't seen even after that 2011 peak that gold was, kind of a historical rally up until that point. And the move has just escalated from last year when it broke out in March, and after summer boy, oh boy, we came back from kind of a slow summer period and gold is tacking on double digit percentage every month. And what we're seeing is $100 days up almost consistently here. What technicals can you look at? And what has you saying that it's still early innings here after gold has gone up thousands of dollars in a couple of years?
Well, Corey, and that's a tough one. You get in up into the areas where you're so overbought and it makes you a little squeamish and you think, boy, you know, maybe I should take some profits here. And it's hard to delineate how long it could stay up here. But when you look at the ADX, which, you know, is a strength indicator, you know, the black line is reaching a peak, but the green line is still heading up toward the black line, which is bullish. And then you could consolidate for a while. You could have some, even with the RSI, which are momentum indicators, you could start to turn sideways to south a little bit. But it would not surprise me if it does that we consolidate at these higher levels and then we move up again. So there are no good technicals right now to tell you how high this thing could go.
Yeah, when a market gets to that point where it's in uncharted waters, it's anybody's guess. But let me ask you this, as far as where we're at in the cycle, we've seen a textbook precious metals market unfold, Doc. We've seen it where gold ran first, then the best of the best gold producers ran, the big boys that had good cost did the best. Then you saw it trickle down into the mid-tiers and some of the smaller royalty companies. And then you start seeing silver move. You start seeing the silver stocks moving. You start seeing the juniors, gold and silver stocks moving. Those usually happen mid-cycle or later in the cycle. So does the move in silver and the move in the juniors signal that we're further along in this thing? Or what makes you think we're still early when we're seeing those later stage developments?
Well, because we have a lot of the producers that haven't even seen their highs in the past. And that tells me, you know, that we have a lot further to run in just the producers, the good quality companies, let alone the juniors. So, you know, take, for instance, a Silver Corp Metals. We haven't even seen the highs back in 2020. And we're going to get up there. We're going to get up there pretty soon. But then I think we take that out and we even go higher. So even with the producers, we still have a long ways to go with those. So, you know, and with some of the mid-tiers now, we're seeing it. But as far as the juniors, I don't think the juniors have got their momentum going yet. And that's to come in the future. So that tells you how far we have yet to go in this market. And, you know, when we haven't seen some of these producers even meet their highs before, that should tell you something, that the gold price has even further to run because they haven't seen those highs and this is the best cash flow they've ever seen.
So, Doc, it's crazy to think that some of these producers are not at all-time highs, but it's also crazy to see some of the moves that we've seen in the producers and even in the juniors. So some of these stocks, a lot of them are 10x where they were a couple years ago. So would you be continuing to focus on the producers, the ones that are taking advantage through cash flows of these higher metals prices right now? Or are you going down into the juniors and into exploration plays because those typically can provide better leverage?
Yeah, I've spread my portfolio around between the producers, the mid-tiers, and juniors. And I'm pretty much at the point where I'm not going to be adding much more to them because they're at prices I don't want to add to, but I know they're going to run a lot farther. So I've been just enjoying this ride. It's been phenomenal to watch, and I've done really well in some of these stocks, and I'm happy for it. And so I won't be adding much anymore because they have a long ways to run, and I don't want to add to prices that are already high for someone. Some of them, I will look to some of the lower tier stocks that haven't run as much yet. And I might add to those because the price appreciation isn't there yet and you still can get them at some pretty good prices.
Well, Doc, you want to throw out any more individual names? You've already mentioned Silvercorp, but as far as gold or silver, let's maybe just do the producers first. Any names you want to highlight?
Well, you know, in the past, I've talked about Equinox. And Equinox, I think, is sitting pretty, and we talked this off mic when they got Caliber for the price they did, and they merged with Caliber. But now they have Valentine, the Greenstone projects starting to gear up. And I think when they gear up, and if they can mine those at an all-in sustaining cost, and it's supposed to drop their all-in sustaining cost, if they're able to mine those, you know, efficiently, they're a 100,000 ounce producer a year. And so, you know, that company I'd love, and I think it has so much further to run. And based on its value to their peers, it's low. Their value is still low. So when they start spitting out the cash flow where they can pay down their debt, I think that stock's going to run really hard.
Doc, let's look at this Equinox chart. And just for clarification, the company is trending towards being a million ounce a year producer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said 100,000. I meant a million.
There you go. Just wanted to correct you there, Doc. But looking at this chart, look, Equinox, back after the merger was completed, dropped down to a little under $8 on the Toronto market. Now it's up to $18. How high could this go? Because you just made the comment that you're not buying some of these stocks at these levels, but you still think they could go higher. So is it too late for somebody who doesn't have a position to get a position in Equinox?
No, when I look at the New York or the Amex, you know, exchange that Equinox is on, and it's right now at about 1275, I think that stock could move anywhere from $50 to $100 a share.
Holy cow. Well, so there's still room for the upside. Why not buy more then?
You could, but I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket on some of these stocks. So I've been buying some other things that conventional markets are a little undervalued. Plus, I'm trying to purchase some stocks that have gotten hit hard, who I know have good management and pay out decent dividends when they start to recover. So because I've been in preferred bonds when the banks got hit, and I was in banks that had preferred bonds that were selling at a discount, but were paying out 8 to 9%. And they're going to come down. In fact, some of them are calling me out on those bonds. So I've got to find something else that I'm not working anymore. So I need a consistent, you know, income, because I can't live off of the earnings I'm making now since I'm no longer working. So I like to have stocks that pay me dividends where I can live off of while enjoying the appreciation of these silver and gold stocks.
What about any other gold stocks? It does sound like you're bringing up a lot of producers here. Anything further down the food chain? Or quite frankly, is there anything that you're buying that hasn't moved?
Well, let me mention a couple other I love. Number one is, we talked about it, and I bought a ton of it when everybody were upset with the company a while back, but it took on new management, and I started to buy this at a very low level, and that was America's Gold and Silver Corp. And I did it for a number of reasons. Number one, new management, and that had a track record of turning around companies in the past. That was number one. But number two, what I really liked about it was their antimony play. And they're one of the only potential producers in North America. And this whole issue about rare earths, and I knew that the government might do something in that area from a policy standpoint, and they have. And America's Gold and Silver has just taken off, and that's already about a 4 or 5 bagger for me. And that's one. Number two, another company I really, and I mentioned this company in the past too, and I really like, is Integra, and which is well managed, and they got a cash flow, and they're coming out with a bigger mine in the future. So that's another one I really like. But there's not a lot of other ones that, you know, that are non-producers that haven't moved too. So it's getting a little bit difficult to find companies at a low price any longer that haven't moved. So, but those are some of the companies I still like.
Well, Doc, just to follow up on the two you just mentioned, on America's Gold and Silver, In addition to the antimony, they're going to get paid on copper and gold, and they've been getting penalized on all three of those metals. That starts next year. But they also have this initiative. I just met with the company in Beaver Creek to fix their shaft and hoist to make it way faster and pull way more ore out. And they're using a different mining method now. They're using long-hole stoping, where they had a bunch of guys with jacklegs in there doing it by hand. Now they're blasting out whole sections all at once, so it's going to be more efficient. They think they can go from 2 million ounces a year silver equivalent to 5 million silver equivalent at their Galena complex in Idaho. So with a stock like that, with America's Gold and Silver, where they're going to be growing their silver and then getting all these credits from the other metals, do you just sit in it and ride it higher? Or is there any time where you would say, okay, they've achieved their mission down the road, I'm going to get out of it? Do you have any targets for how long you're going to hold it or a price? How do you manage the hold period, and when do you exit?
Well, with these good companies, I don't exit until I think gold and silver has peaked. And I think we're a long ways away from that. So I'm not going to exit from any of these good companies. I'm not selling any of these. I'm a long-term holder. I think we're going much higher with gold and silver. And I'm not going to get out of them until I feel that we finally have peaked out on gold and silver pricing. I might add that if one looks at one of the charts I'm going to watch over time to tell me if we're getting close to peaking is the industrial to gold ratio chart. And we're a long way. I think in the past, we've seen industrial to gold ratio of 1 to 2. Two times in the past, and I think we're going to see that again. So when we get down to those kind of levels, it's just one of the charts I'll be watching amongst a couple. Then I'm going to get serious about thinking whether I take my profits.
Okay, Doc, let's dive in a little bit more to this, because look, everybody or most people are calling for some sort of a correction. It's definitely due. We just outlined how overbought just the metals prices are and a lot of these stocks are. But I think this bull market is reminding everybody what a bull market is that we can stay overbought for a while and just keep pushing higher. So balance out what a correction looks like in your eyes. And then, okay, you just gave us the Dow to gold ratio in terms of what that could drop to. But what does that look like on a gold chart? What does a top look like rather than a correction?
I think we could pull back 10% on a correction on this gold chart. I think that's possible. And I think then we can consolidate. We can for a while, but eventually we will break that consolidation and we'll move higher again. But I don't see a huge sell-off in this gold and silver move. I don't expect anything like 20-25%, but I would expect a shallow correction for these, and then we could consolidate for a while, and then after that, we would start to move higher again. I think that's what we potentially could see, because there's going to be a point where we're going to have to do some consolidation here.
Well, Doc, we'll keep watching for that consolidation and maybe have you back on at that time and see how you're playing it. Just want to open it up to you. Obviously, gold and silver are doing fantastic. Same thing with the equities. Are you getting animated to rotate anything like down the road? I know you said you're not selling anything right now, but would you be animated to rotate categories to get out of gold and silver and put it in, say, copper or uranium or lithium or nickel or oil or gas? Is there any other commodities you would consider rotating wins out of at one point? And which ones are they?
Absolutely. And there's only one area, because I think uranium already has had a good run. I think that's going to continue. But what I'm looking at right now, and I've started nibbling, I think oil and gas is an area that you want to be. And I think there's going to be a great opportunity, there has been already, to buy some of these good stocks at low prices. And so that's the one area in the commodity sector I'm trying to build a position in over time, because it's scraping the bottom. And so I'm focusing on oil and gas to be my next one, that has a run, but I don't think that's going to happen for a while. So I'm taking some positions at low prices, and some of them are coming back here. Some of them had a little bit of run. They're going to come back, and I think they're going to double bottom. And so I'll add. So that's the one area I'm really looking at to add in.
Care to share any stocks or the type of stocks in the energy sector that you're buying? Is it the higher producers, the larger producers? Is it growth oriented? What or where are you adding?
I like Baytex Energy, stocks like that. And then I also like Cliff Energy. Those are two I'm following closely, and Birchcliff has come off, and I'm probably going to add a little bit to that. And then one of the other ones I'm looking at is Vital Energy. And then another one, those are three so far that I've got positions in a couple of them at low prices, and they moved up a little bit. Now they're coming back. And then there's Ultrapar out of Brazil. And I bought that at low prices, and that's had a little run, but it's going to come back here again. It's looking like technically it's coming back. And so those are four that I'm personally looking at right now. I might add what's interesting too about the fact that I think we have so much further to run in these stocks is, I don't know if you're aware, but the chief investment officer of Morgan Stanley just put out that they're recommending now that you have 60% in the market, and you have 20% in the bonds, and you have 20% in precious metals. And I mean, for a major investment house to say that, that's amazing. And then you have Jeffrey Gundlach, who is a bond king, and he's talking 25, 25, 25, 25 as percentages, 25 in stocks, 25%, 25% in bonds, 25% in cash, and 25% in precious metals. And so another interesting chart is a chart when you look at the central banks and their purchases of gold, and the fact that they're getting out of treasuries. There's a chart that shows the treasuries decreasing over time and the gold increasing, and gold is about to bisect the treasury that they hold. And so gold's going to go much higher with these central banks yet. So those are charts that normally we don't look at.
All right. Well, good points there, Doc. Hey, look, this is a bull market. A lot of opportunities, I guess, to still make money with some of those higher targets that you even have. It's great having you back on the show. That was my fault for not reaching out to you earlier. But hey, maybe it was good karma for the precious metals that just kept screaming higher. And this was another good week for precious metals. So, Doc, thanks for joining us on this weekend show. And everyone, stick around. We're going to continue focusing on what's going on in the gold and silver and maybe even some other precious metals areas with Jeff Christian up next. So everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin and Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.